listening to Opportunity Detroit. We can actually see the progress that has been made on the Gordie Howe International Bridge right here from our spot in the Fisher Building. But for a more accurate description on the progress on the bridge, we now turn to Heather Grondin. She is the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority's Chief Relations Officer. And Heather, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing just great. We are interested in hearing how things are going with this construction project. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, definitely. So construction is ongoing on the Gordie Howe International Bridge. And in fact, we just celebrated our 7th anniversary since the start of construction, which happened on October 5th, 2018.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So this has been a 7-year project?
From a construction perspective, yes, but the earliest conversations about this project go all the way back to the year 2000. So it's actually 25 years in the making to get us to the point that we're at today.
Oh my gosh. So talk about the point where we are at today.
Yeah, so overall, across all four of our project components, the Canadian Port of Entry, the bridge, U.S. Port of Entry, and connection into Interstate 75, we're about 98% complete. So that means we have about 2% left, but I do like to tell people that in the concept of a project this big, 2% is still a lot of work. So looking at the bridge, we're doing things like utility installation, lighting installation, the installation of fire suppression systems and drainage systems, and doing a lot of testing as well. And then at the ports of entry, we're doing work inside of the buildings like desk installation and lighting fixture installation. But then we're also doing things like fence installation and landscaping.
So here's the million-dollar question. Do we have a date yet for when it's going to be done?
Yeah, we don't have a date just yet. You know, what's really important for us is to get it right. And not just the construction needs to be completed, but we need to make sure that everything is operating as expected, that it's safe for our travelers, secure for the movement of trade, and that the whole system is functioning as efficiently as we've been talking about for all of the years, that travelers can get across the border as quickly and efficiently as possible. And once we've achieved all that, we'll be in a position to open.
So, Heather, can you kind of walk backward with us and talk about what went into putting together this bridge? I mean, it's just a massive operation.
You know, it's really the planning. I don't know how these construction planners do it. You know, it's taken designers from around the world who have contributed since day one to thinking about what span, whether it's a cable stay bridge or a suspension bridge, would work best. And ultimately, they chose a cable stay bridge. Identifying the right areas and the sizes of the ports of entry, which has included extensive engagement with our border agencies on both sides of the border. And then what's also been incredibly important has been working with the communities, working with local elected officials, hearing what was important to them, taking an opportunity to incorporate design ideas that the community brought forward. So it's really just been layers and layers and layers of work and hundreds of people contributing to the design. And that doesn't even talk to the 14,000 plus people who have contributed to the construction.
Wow, 14,000 plus people worked on this project.
Exactly. We're at over 19 million hours of work that has gone into construction alone.
Oh, that's incredible. Let's talk a little bit about the community impact, because I can imagine that the community, as you point out, was heavily involved in the entire process. But eventually, this is going to be pretty good for the communities involved because you're making the area a better place to live, work, and play.
Exactly. So we've undertaken a momentous amount of community consultation, but it's an amount that is reflective of the size and scope of this project. And throughout the time, we have heard very specific things for the community. And I'll give you the best example, the community-driven multi-use path. A multi-use path wasn't in our original design. It came from hearing from the communities on both sides of the border how important it was to include that. And ultimately, we were able to include that in the design. We have our community benefits plan that was driven by priorities expressed by community members. And on the U.S. side, that included a home repair program. It included food provision projects, included programming for youth and seniors, and even some art projects. So a lot of great long-lasting impacts and investments have been done outside of the bridge itself.
So talk a little bit about the multi-use path. Is that designed to make the riverfront maybe a little bit more accessible in that area, Heather?
Yeah, the multi-use path's purpose is ultimately another mode of transportation to get people across the border and provide an opportunity for communities to connect in a new way. There isn't another bridge or crossing right here in Windsor, Detroit, that people can walk or cycle across. And not only does it provide an opportunity for community connects, but it's a great active transportation mechanism and a really great opportunity for tourism. And it's going to be toll-free for pedestrians and cyclists.
That is really interesting. I didn't realize that pedestrians and cyclists were going to be able to go across this bridge.
Yeah, it's their own dedicated path, completely separated from vehicular traffic. And while people will need a passport or enhanced ID to go across, they will have their own designated inspection areas from the U.S. Border Protection and U.S.-Canada Border Services Agency that keeps them separated and safe from traffic.
And that's pretty unique, right? There's not a lot of other bridges around the world that have something like this.
Exactly. And when you think about the Gordie Howe International Bridge being the longest cable-stayed bridge in North America, the 10th longest in the world, that's a real attraction. And I think something that the local economic development organizations and the local tourism organizations can really leverage for the benefit of the communities.
Can you explain to our listeners what exactly is a cable-stayed bridge?
Sure. So for people who are in the Detroit-Windsor area, you'll see the cable-stayed bridge of the Gordie Howe International Bridge, and you can contrast that to the suspension design of the Ambassador Bridge. With a cable-stayed bridge, all of the weight is held by the cables connecting to those massive towers. Now, our towers are 722 feet. So if you want a comparator, that's about the same height as the middle tower at the Renaissance Center. And then they go all the way down into bedrock. And between the towers and the cables and the main span, the weight is balanced.
That's really interesting. Now, this bridge, the size of this bridge, it's a mile and a half, correct?
Across? That's right.
Mile and a half across, mile and a half back. If somebody is a pedestrian or a cyclist, they're going to need a passport to do this, though, right?
I'll say a passport and a bottle of water.
I love it. I mean, this project is going to make a huge difference, not only for the city of Detroit, not only for the state of Michigan, but for the entire United States, I would think, because explain to our listeners what kind of traffic we're going to see on the Gordie Howe International Bridge.
Yeah, so a lot of traffic moves through the Canada-U.S. border. So talking first about passenger traffic, we have about 6,000 commuters that travel through Detroit and Windsor and Windsor-Detroit every single day to go to jobs, visit families, do activities on either side of the border. Further than that, when we talk about the commercial traffic, you know, there are primary states that include Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, and they move trade back and forth every single day, but it doesn't stop there. We expect, and we've seen through some of our traffic analysis, that trade comes all the way down the corridor, really starting from Mexico through Texas, all the way up to Michigan, across the bridge, and then into Ontario and as far as Quebec.
We're talking to Heather Grondin here on Opportunity Detroit. She is the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority's Chief Relations Officer. Heather, tell us a little bit about how you got into this job. Give us a little background on your career.
Well, my background is in communications, and I worked in government communications, and I'm from the Windsor area and have been living and working in Toronto, working for the federal government, and saw an opportunity to work on this project. And I knew how important it was. Being from this area, you know, I drove along traffic and here on Church Road. I went across to the U.S. side to go to concerts and to go out and have a good time, go to Mexican Town. And I understood how critically important this project could be and what a game changer it was. And in fact, I am about 20 years into this project. I started way back during the environmental assessment, the Detroit River International Crossing Study, and have had the pleasure to be able to keep working on this project and seeing it to this point, from being on paper to now being constructed and getting close to the final stages.
So this has to be pretty exciting for somebody like you to see that this is actually going to become a reality.
You know, it really is. And really for anyone who's been able to contribute to the project, it brings so much joy and so much pride. And, you know, we have made connections and friendships that cannot be measured or replaced. And for me, being a Canadian working on this project, having the opportunity to meet and work very closely with people on the U.S. side, you know, in the community, at the Michigan Department of Transportation, in the governor's office, in the city of Detroit, those are experiences that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for this project.
That's a really good point. Heather Grondin, the Windsor-Detroit Bridge Authority's Chief Relations Officer, thank you for joining us today, and we can't wait to check back in with you to get the date.
It's been my pleasure. Please keep in touch, and we're happy to keep you updated as we go.
And I'm Ann Thomas. Thank you for listening to Opportunity Detroit. Enjoy the rest of your day.